Hello and good evening. I'm your host today, Abner Belsky, and we are back with another episode on Abner Sports Throwdown. Today, I have a very special guest with me. Please welcome Jeff Perlman, who's a New York Times bestselling author and creator of the book Showtime, which is about the Los Angeles Lakers dynasty. Thank you so much, Mr. Perlman, for joining me on my podcast today. So let's begin. So the first question I have for you is, so you're now an author of 9 books, and you have written numerous articles for large websites such as Sports Illustrated and ESPN. But now, kind of turning the clock back, when you were my age or younger, when did you kind of start your love for writing and reporting, and when did it kind of reveal itself?
How old are you?
I'm 17.
Okay, so right around then, actually, I was a senior in high school, and I grew up in a tiny town, Mayo Pack, New York. And I, my senior year, I wrote for the high school newspaper, The Chieftain, or really my junior year. And then my senior year, I became sports editor. And I was like your, kind of your typical high school geek. I ran track and cross country. I wasn't, you know, never kissed a girl, never went on a date, all that stuff. And I started writing, and you would write stuff, and people would pay attention to you. Just write for the high school newspaper, write something about how cheerleading isn't really a sport. Or write something how the basketball team is underperforming, stuff like that. And all of a sudden, you know, you're noticed. And that really did something for me. So I think high school senior year was really when I first was like, oh yeah, I kind of like this.
Interesting. That I'm an editor for my school paper as well. So I kind of understand where you're coming from. It's very interesting. And I personally love writing. So it's very interesting that we have similar paths. Mm-hmm. So your book writing career kind of started after your time with Sports Illustrated. Like I said, you've written 9 books now, but how do you find something that you're so passionate, enough to write about? And I'm just kind of very interested to hear how you picked your topics.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's kind of like, when you think about books and you think about what you want to write about, I have kind of 3 criteria that I go by. Number one, is it something that I will enjoy for 2 years? Like a book, average book takes 2 to 2.5 years. And that's a long time with one subject. So you have to find a subject you enjoy. Number two, hasn't been done well before. You know, like there have always been books on different subjects, but it hasn't been done definitively. And then number three, do I think it has a chance of selling? You know, so those are kind of my big 3. And like my first book ever was about the 1986 New York Mets, which is way, 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 way before you were born. But in 86, I was, you know, a 13-year-old kid watching the Mets, loved that team. So, like, that was a great first book for me because there are a lot of Mets fans. 86 was a magical year. There hadn't been a book done about that season, and I sort of dove in. And, like, now I'm working on my first non-sports book. I'm working on a book about the rapper Tupac Shakur, and I'm a big hip-hop fan, and I love Tupac's music, and I always found him fascinating. And there's never been a definitive biography done on them. So, you know, I try to find subjects that really do it for me that haven't been done before.
Yeah, that's very interesting because, like you said, there's a lot of books that are pretty repetitive on certain subjects. So, I mean, yeah, that's a great criteria to live by. So kind of interesting segue. I'm a huge Mets fan as well, but like you said, I didn't grow up in the 80s, but both my parents are from New York, so I'm still a mega fan myself. But what was it like writing about something that you actually lived through, and kind of what was it like reflecting on it, and what was your favorite part about that 86 team?
So it's interesting because I always saw that team through the eyes of me being 13, turning 14 that year. So the players were larger than life to me. You know, you're a little kid or you're a young teenager and these players are your heroes. And I would sit in front of the TV with a glove in my hand, pretending to be the shortstop, Rafael Santana, or pretending to be the catcher, Gary Carter. Well, then you're an adult and you're a sports writer. And at the time I was covering baseball for Sports Illustrated, and you see it differently. Like you see the flaws and you see the conflict and you see the strife. And I don't think you can write it. You can't write it as a fan. Like I was writing it as a journalist, not a fan. So I could explain to the readers that this was a team I loved when I was a kid, but I can't write it as that entity. Number one, because I'm not that kid anymore. And number two, because nobody wants to read some book where you just kiss everyone's ass. So it was just different. It's different. It is interesting. It's different. If you want to be a journalist, like, clearly you're a guy who loves sports. You do this podcast, you have great guests, but like, one thing you're going to have to ask yourself in your life, if you decide to go into journalism, is, am I willing to not be a fan? Am I willing to set aside allegiances and cover these people as human beings fairly and, objectively? And that's sort of where I was with that book.
That's a good point. Would you say that was the hardest part about writing that book on the 86 Mets?
No, the hardest part is just books are hard. Like, it's not hard to not root. That's one of the great myths you'll see in sports. Like, a lot of this, you know, you're growing up in the age of fandom journalism, where you have like Stephen A. Smith rooting for the Cowboys, or I don't know, whoever, Nina Kimes rooting for the Seahawks. And this is what they do. And I'm not saying they're wrong, but it used to be an enormous no-no. And I've never found it hard. Like, I grew up a Jets, Mets, Islanders, Nets fan. But once I was covering sports, I just didn't root for the teams. It's not hard. It's not hard to say, I'm not going to root for these teams anymore. I'm a journalist now. It's kind of what you have to do.
Interesting. I didn't know that. That's very cool. But also, like you said, it's hard at first if you are a mega fan as well. So now I kind of want to talk a little bit about your book, Showtime. So can you kind of take me through the writing process of it and what you had to do in order to kind of recount all that happened in such an eventful time in sports history?
So I grew up in New York, but I was always sort of wowed by LA and Southern California. And I always like dreamed of it. And I remember being a kid and watching like the Lakers play on TV and seeing the palm trees and the Laker girls, and they'd show the beach, and I just wanted it. And I live in Southern California now, and a lot of that is because of being a kid. So writing that book was really cool because I was able to throw myself into a time period I really enjoyed and coveted. Like all the books I write, it's a lot of just calling people. Like most of that book, I probably interviewed 500 people. So it's like, you don't just interview Laker players. You don't just interview Laker coaches. You don't just interview players on other teams. You track down the ball boys. You track down the equipment managers. You track down fans. You track down secretaries, just everyone. And you go really, really deep and try to just write a really immersive book. And that's what I tried doing with that.
How did you determine who you wanted to interview? Because 500 people, that's a heck of a lot of people. How did you kind of decide who made the cut and who didn't?
Everyone makes the cut. Basically, if I have 2 years, I'm calling everyone. And it doesn't mean everyone makes the book. Like, I might interview someone and they might be boring, or it might be repetitive, or they might not have a good memory, but I call everyone. So if I interview a guy in the Lakers and he's like, oh, you should talk to Maggie. She used to make pies for the team. Well, I'm 100% trying to call Maggie. And maybe I talk to Maggie, and Maggie's like, you know who you should talk to? You should talk to Bob, because Bob used to change Magic Johnson's tires when he would go to the stadium. And I'm like, all right, I'll call Bob. I just call everyone because, good books, and especially good sports books and good biographies, they have details that you would never think of, and they surprise you. It can't just be, nobody wants to, like, you're a diehard sports fan, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Who's your favorite baseball team?
The Mets.
All right, right, so the Mets. All right, so if I were writing a book about the Mets, maybe the year they made the World Series and they played the Royals, and the book was, and then on May 7th, they played the Astros, and that game was good, and so-and-so, Matt Harvey, pitched 7 innings and gave up 2 runs. And, you know, David Wright hit a home run in the 5th. And then the next game, Noah Syndergaard. Like, you'd be like, this is really boring. Yeah. Like, this is boring. So, like, what I'm trying to find is, like, what did Matt Harvey do at home? What did Noah Syndergaard collect? What, the tattoo on his shoulder. What's the story of that? Maybe someone has a tattoo and they got it when they were 18 years old and it was the name of their girlfriend, but then they broke up with the girlfriend and they carved over it. Like, you're just always trying to find unique, hyper-specific details that tell you something people don't know.
So you track down every lead, it sounds like, which...
I try to. I mean, it's impossible to do every because it's just too much. And obviously there are people who aren't going to talk to you. You know, like Magic Johnson did not talk to me for that book. And when that, just as an example, when that happens, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to call 100 other people. And I'm going to find the funny thing about it all is, in a way, the stars are the least important.
Really?
Because, well, if you think about it, like, if I were doing a book about the Mets now, let's just say last season, no one would read that book. But if I was doing a book about that, everyone would call Lindor, right? Everyone would call, I don't know, Jeff McNeil. Like, there are certain obvious players who everybody would call in the Mets.
Yeah.
But, and those people are interviewed after every game. So they have stories they've told over and over again. But there's a backup catcher who's never been spoken to. There's a bullpen coach who's never been spoken to. And those people are there for all of it. They just haven't been asked before. So those fresh stories are, like, for me, are gold.
I like that. And I mean, this book was obviously one of your best in the sense that it got picked up and adapted by HBO. But when you were finished writing the book and you finally published it, did you think that it would ever turn into a docudrama or anything like that? And kind of what was your reaction when it happened?
I've never written a book thinking, oh, this is going to become a TV show. Like, never, ever. It never crossed my mind. When it happened, when it first got, like, basically how it works in short is, like, you write a book, some creator comes to you and they say, we want to buy the rights to your book and we want to try to make it into a TV series. And usually they give you a little bit of money and it usually never goes anywhere. Like, the number of books that are, it's called optioned. The number of books that are optioned every year by studios, Hollywood studios, is just numbers in the thousands. And the number that actually wind up becoming something, numbers in the 5 or 6, you know, it's just rare. So I never had any real hope that it would happen. When it did happen, it was like the greatest thing ever. I mean, it was the coolest thing ever. It was awesome. I mean, first, the show was good. Second, it was really fun. Third, I got to be involved. And fourth, I got paid. So, like, it kicked ass. It was great.
That's awesome. Can you tell me the capacity that you were involved in the show?
Yeah, I was basically like a glorified fact checker. Like, they were, I mean, I was in it. My wife was in it. My kids were in it. We all had little tiny, tiny roles in it in different episodes. But mainly I was like, they'd call me and they'd be like, does this make sense? Nah, kind of. Does this, what about this guy? And I'd be like, eh, kind of, not kind of. Like, it was a lot of like just helping them when I could with the sort of direction of the narrative, whether certain things made sense, whether certain things were realistic, and whether certain characters are depicted correctly.
That's super cool. Now, besides kind of the obvious, you know, difference between your book being a book and the show being a TV series, what were the biggest differences between your biography versus the docudrama?
Oh man, I mean, it's like comparing apples and pancakes. Like, one is for entertainment. You know, the show is entertainment. So they used the book as a basis. But, you know, there's a lot of leaps and stretches and stuff like that, which is totally fine. And the book is just me reporting, hard reporting, straight fact, what people said, who they were, where they were. So night and day, honestly, just night and day.
Got it. So since you have so much, research done on the Lakers dynasty, I wanted to know your thoughts. So Kareem and Magic were obviously the stars, but was there an unsung hero maybe, or a player that you think deserved more screen time on the Lakers during their dynasty?
Oh, yeah, a bunch of them. I mean, again, this is way before you came along, but like, they had a guy, James Worthy, who was awesome. Byron Scott, very important. Later on, they didn't get to certain guys. Like, Vlade Divac came along later. So, yeah. But I really love the show. Like, I don't have any complaints. You know, it's funny. The show, it lasted 2 years, and then HBO pulled the plug. And people were calling me and being like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I was definitely sad. But you can't complain about having your book turned into an HBO show.
Yeah.
You know, it's utterly preposterous. Like, I got paid for my book to become a TV show. That's insane. So it was great.
100%. Yeah. I can't picture anything better than that.
Yeah.
So now this is just a question, since you're a sports buff like me, who do you think would win a 7-game series, the 86 Lakers or the 95 Bulls?
Oh, interesting. I would have to say the Bulls. I just think Jordan was Jordan.
Yeah.
Jordan was Jordan. So, but it'd be good. It'd be a good series. But I just think Jordan, to see Jordan I know people, you know, the whole LeBron argument, and you can make it, but like Jordan was just an unextinguishable fire. I mean, that guy had something different. So I'll pick the Bulls, but it'd be close.
I get that. Magic and Kareem were pretty good, so I think it'd be pretty close.
Yeah, I agree. And Kareem was not in his prime at that point. He was kind of past his better days at that point, so it'd been a while.
True, very true. So this is the final question I have for you of this interview, and I typically like ending them off like this. If you had one piece of advice to give to my audience or maybe aspiring journalist, what would that be?
Man, for me, it's always been about just working your ass off and outworking other people. Like, there'll always be a better writer. There'll always be a better podcast host. There'll always be a better interviewer. But you can control how hard you work. And if you want something badly enough, you have to chase it. You can't just want it. You have to pursue it and dig and drive and go for it. And like, I wanted to be a sports writer from the time, again, I was your age. I wanted it desperately. And all the little steps I took along the way and all the people who helped me along the way, it's a journey that had to be taken that way. Like, I wasn't naturally talented enough to just be whatever. You have to bust your ass. And I just want to say, man, and I'm not kidding, I scrolled through your podcast guest list. Amazing.
Thank you.
You are kicking ass. You are doing it the right way. 1,000,000%. You are doing it the right way. It's awesome. It's fantastic. I give you so much credit and so many props for the way you're doing it. That's exactly what you're supposed to be doing.
Thank you so much, Mr. Perlman. I really appreciate you coming on the show and being able to talk with me. I,